representing Fight Factory Jiu-Jitsu, Andrew Tackett.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Open Guard Cast. My name is Jake Watson, your host. Every episode of the Open Guard Cast brought to you in part by Restore Health AZ down here in Arizona. Go to rhg.health. Check them out. I am here with, Level Black, sponsored athlete, somebody who has been taking the jiu-jitsu world by storm, Andrew Tackett. Andrew, how are you, man?
What's up, guys? I'm doing really good. How are you doing, Jake?
Dude, I'm doing good. I've been wanting to get a Tackett brother at all on the podcast for a while, and I'm glad that I got you on, dude. I've known you for a while. I feel like I've been watching you compete ever since I met you and your whole family down there at Jits King in 2020, and it's been a pleasure knowing you and seeing your career grow, and I feel like it's just going, you're just skyrocketing right now, and it's so cool to see you, dude. So, and I mean that candidly. I'm using my podcaster voice here, but I really mean that candidly, dude. It is a pleasure to watch you compete.
Thank you very much. I mean, this past year has been very full of twists and turns, been full of hard competitions and training hard. So it's been a learning experience, and I can't wait to get into 2023 and do it all over again.
Yeah, next year is definitely going to be a huge, huge event. I mean, you know, a lot of people were bummed to not be able to see you at the East Coast Trials, but a lot of people were very excited to see you do so well at Hooters number 120 back, I believe that was October 1st, about down there at the Bio Music Hall in beautiful Houston, Texas. So I want to talk about that event because that was a incredible performance. I mean, going against PJ Barge, somebody who has, I mean, made it to the third place match at ADCC in 2022 at the University of Las Vegas Stadium. It seemed like you worked him. Like, it was a great fight, but you outworked him. You had the cardio that was just impeccable. I know you were throwing up after the fight you revealed on your Instagram, which was pretty funny, but your cardio is just so incredible. Tell me a little bit about what the preparation into that tournament was like. Just game planning, the training that went into it. I want to hear a little bit about that.
So the preparation was modified a little bit from usual because I was kind of dealing with that back injury. It was a slight problem. Wasn't anything too bad, but it was kind of agging on me a little bit all training camp. And so I had to like modify not as hard rounds and more drilling, specific training and cardio outside of the gym. I couldn't really roll super, super hard because then my back would be a little sore. But my cardio main focus consisted of swimming and assault bike, doing marathon pace the first like 2-3 weeks of the training camp. And then the last 2 weeks of the training camp doing sprints. Because I knew it was a 15-minute match, so I needed that marathon pace. So doing like 2 8-minute rounds on the assault bike, like 2 8-minute rounds in the swimming pool without stopping, and then doing it all over again. And like I said, the last couple of weeks doing more sprints, just like 1-minute sprints, pool, and assault bike, and it sucked. But yeah, it was good. It prepared my cardio for sure.
So what I've seen with you guys is it's not just cardio, though, is it? Because I have a characteristic, I would say, of the Tackett family and Cody Steele, which is kind of like a guy's, like, it's like the Tackett family's half brother. You know, you guys are so close. You guys throw up after a lot of your matches. How much of your training, is there an element to the training camp down there at Brazilian Fight Factory about willpower? Because I feel like you guys are going even past your limit when you're competing.
I mean, I would say yes. It's mainly just because we are all, you know, such heart driven, and we all have like grown up together in a sense. So we all push the hardest with each other. And so when we get out there on the mats, it's basically like, you know, jiu-jitsu is like really our calling, all of our callings. And it's, you know, mainly all we have. So we know we have to give it our all, you know, win or lose, because then we know we made the right decision. And for Cody, mainly same thing, you know, fighting is his plan A. And he doesn't want to resort to plan B, so he gives it his all every single time, so that he has no excuses afterwards.
Yeah, that makes sense. One more question about who's number 120. Game planning for PJ Barch specifically. I think a lot of people were very surprised with just how you approached that match. Even your base, your wrestling, your ability to wrestle with PJ, who I think a lot of people on paper might say is quote unquote, the better wrestler, right? I mean, he has an actual wrestling pedigree in high school. What was the game planning like going into that match?
So I knew he was a good wrestler. I knew he wrestled all throughout high school and a little bit in college. And I knew he wrestled in his whole jiu-jitsu career. So he even got even better at wrestling. And so I really studied his wrestling game and learned what he liked to do. I mean, I'm not going to just completely break down his game, but I know he likes elbow slips. I know he likes always keeping head forward pressure. And I know he typically doesn't circle and he always just walks forward. So when game planning for his wrestling, I specifically kept element of make sure I'm circling around him, make sure I'm cutting the corner, making sure I'm not extending my arms too much because that gives up elbow slips and snap downs that he likes to do. And from the beginning, I know PJ usually beats opponents by, you know, making it a technical on technical match. And so I knew I just had to make it kind of a dog fight from the beginning. So that's why you saw me shoot early on. And just making it an aggressive match, taking him sort of out of his element. And I felt like a couple of minutes to the match, it was working. So I just kept it up. But one thing I do have to say about PJ, man, that guy's freaking hard to hold down. If I would have done the match again, I would have trained a lot more holding my partner down once I got them down, because he just sprung back to his feet every chance he got. And I was like, dang it, I got you down. I just stayed down, man. So yeah, it was a fun match, but whew, you know, PJ Barch is tough.
That's one of those matches that Flow Grappling put out there and immediately got a crazy amount of views. And yeah, definitely respectful of you not to want to give too many holes into PJ's game on a public forum. But it was absolutely insane. And a lot of people, you know, very excited to see you hopefully have a match with Mika Galvão. I know, you know, he went on to face PJ, who graciously stepped in after you were injured in the tournament. But I personally think it would be criminal for you to not get the next title shot once your back is healed. But I want to hear a little bit more about the nature of the injury. How exactly did that start? And what is it? Like, what is the injury on your back, if you don't mind relinquishing that?
Yeah, no, totally. I'll explain a little bit what's going on. So about, you know, when I was very young, like 13, 14 around there, or pretty, that was like not too long ago, but I hurt my back. And I hurt it in jiu-jitsu. So I took some time off and I was lifting, building up my legs and stuff and core. And then the injury just went away and it was good for a very long time. And then at this, you know, mid of 2022, it started coming back, but it was like very slight pain. It was never too bad. And it was just like, I was doing physical therapy. I was doing, you know, workouts to help it out, but I was still always trained for a fight, so I never could properly heal it. And you know, going into my mat, who's the one match before PJ Barch and my combat jiu-jitsu, both those tournaments, I was feeling my back pain, but it was never too bad. And never too bad still going into the PJ Barch, and you know, mid-match I was going so hard it slipped. And exactly what it was is I got an MRI done. I have a two bulge discs, so I have one in my L1 and one in my like L5. So one like almost mid back and one lower back. And then I have two like super tiny little fractures. They're not even considered a hairline. They're little tiny fractures. And those are pretty probably what was painful. My disc was kind of making me crooked and stuff. And my disc, I'm pretty sure, almost completely slipped out. Is when I was backstage, I was trying to stand up and I wasn't like super crooked. I was a little crooked, but it was more like my disc was pushing on the nerve and it was like jolting my body. So it was wanting to slip out, but thankfully, you know, my muscles and stuff was keeping it in. And so that's when I was like, okay, no fighting for like the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 months even, because I just want to completely heal it and get it back to 100%. I don't really want to be going into 2023 with my back hindering my ability per se. So I want to just completely heal it, get it completely taken care of so that I can enter into West Coast trials with complete confidence and 100% preparation.
Yeah, that was going to be something I asked you, is did you think that West Coast trials was going to happen for you this year? I wanted to see you there. I mean, I'm going to be commentating West Coast trials as well as Worlds. And so that's going to be awesome. I want to, you know, there's people who I want to see there. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you right here, right now, I want to see Andrew Tackett in both those tournaments. But
I love you, man.
Yeah, dude, come on. But As far as the recovery process for that goes, of course, resting and not training is something that's really hard for an athlete not to do. But is there anything else that they recommended you to kind of take part in to heal
So
your back?
my physical therapy regimen right now is core one day. So I'll do like front core and obliques and side core. And then the next day I'll do like back exercises. So like Superman bridges, like weird ones, like bird dogs. I'll do like deadlift, just like nodding from the rack, barely lift it up, drop it, barely lift it up, drop it. I'll do like RDL at the like 90 degree angle holds to pump up my back. And then the next day I'll do like legs. So I'll work out like with not rack holding weight on my back, but I'll do like machines to build up, my hip flexors and stuff. I'll take one day of rest and I'll do it all again. And I'm gonna be doing that for like the maybe like 2 more weeks before I get back to like drilling and being on the mats, but not really rolling yet. And then maybe like another couple of weeks after that, and then I may start to implement very slow flow rolling with like kids, children, and super small like girls, because I know they won't hurt me. And then maybe like a couple of weeks after that, and then start to roll flow roll with everyone, and then just judge it from there. Not going too fast back into training, but really progressing slowly into it. So yeah, that's kind of my plan and my doctor's plan. So yeah, I trust him. And it's working so far.
Yeah, and in this time of your life, your plan better be your doctor's plan. But one thing I want to say, Andrew, is that as I've watched your career develop, especially over the past 2 to 3 years, you've developed a maturity as a competitor. You're still a very young. How old are you?
I'm 28. No, I'm counting. I'm
Okay,
20.
you're 20 years old. So, 20-year-old man, and you've definitely matured. You've grown more patient. And one thing I've noticed is you have consistently given glory to God through Jesus Christ. So that's just, I mean, that's huge. That's so awesome that you do that, and it is manifested in, how you take care of yourself, how you talk about yourself, how you talk about your career, and how hard you work. I want to hear a little bit more about like that side of Andrew Tackett, because people don't usually see that, you know what I mean, in your day-to-day walk. But I want to know how much that means to you, and what that means to you, basically.
No. I mean, first off, for all those that don't believe, Jesus loves you so much, and he's just waiting for you to come to him. And
Amen.
God had always loved me. He's always cared for me, but I really didn't start diving into caring about him until about a couple of years ago. I partied a lot. I was doing a bunch of crazy stuff, and I wasn't progressing at all in my character, in my life, in my wisdom, and all that. And then once I restored my focus back to, God, then I start growing a lot. And so really like past like only year, I've really just been dedicated to my life of God. And he's helped me so much in jiu-jitsu and in just like my daily life. He gives me so much wisdom and so much, fruits, so much fruits of the spirit is what I mean, and so much just, joy. And I couldn't be at this much peace with my injury and with this upcoming, tournaments that I have to drop out of if it wasn't for, the Prince of Peace just reigning over my life. So it's really cool, just to say that I get to believe in God, and that he actually talks to me, and he actually cares for me, and he actually just like wants to be a part of my life is just so cool. It's kind of like looking at a father. If I had a dad that didn't really care for me and like didn't really want to be a part of my life, like let's say my parents were divorced, but I loved him so much and he didn't show me that same sort of love, that would suck. But if you have a father that you really love and he's right there back loving you 10 times more than what you love him, it's just such an amazing thing. So I feel the same way for my love for God. He just loves me and cares for me so much more than what I care for him. And I love him a lot, so it's crazy.
I feel you on that one. That's very profound, Andrew. I heard a saying one time just before I let you I know you got somewhere to
No,
be, and we have a kids
we're good.
class. Oh, we're doing good. I know
Yeah.
that. But I just wanted to I wanted to say that one of the best sayings I heard, I think, is the Bible is the only book that when you read it, the author shows up. And so I thought that was a pretty cool saying. But
I'm super sick. I've never heard that.
That's a cool one, dude. Oh, I got a memory bank in here of a bunch of little tiny Bible sayings. But yeah, man, I mean, it's just been, it's, like I said, it's been very cool to see you. You've had this metamorphosis of character. And I mean, like I said, I would love for you to have a match with Mika Galvão for the title, for that title. I think that it is right. I think that any other matchup makes zero sense. It was the match that was supposed to happen that your back, you know, it did not end up holding up for that, but
definitely
very excited, man. I want to know where are you planning on next? I mean, ADCC West Coast Trials, of course, is the next goal. I get that. Is there any other super fights that you have in talks? Is there any other events besides that? Or is ADCC West Coast Trials just the number one focus right now?
Yeah. So I definitely want to have a fight with Mika, and we fought 2 years ago and he beat me. So I definitely want to, you know, go out there and prove to myself that I can beat him. And I know it's not going to be an easy task because numbers don't lie. And he is one of the best, if not right up there with the best person. So I don't want to fight Mika until I'm 100% healed, until I'm feeling 100%, you know, prepared. So I think Who's Number One's really trying to get me back on a match. Like, they were messaging me for the November 30th card. They were messaging me for the, you know, December and January card. And I just was like, hey guys, I can't do those cards. So I really want to fight with Who's Number One. I know Trials is in March, so I may fight in Who's Number One, hopefully against someone that's very good, like Sebastian, Oliver, you know, one, someone on like that level that's very good, you know, maybe around February time, and then fight in the trials, and then maybe after the trials fight Mika around that time. But who knows, you know, I know God has a plan. I know I have a plan, and I know his plan is 10 times greater than my imagination of my plan. So who knows what happens, you know, maybe something even greater than that could happen, but I just see, you know, that's where I see myself going. So yeah, it's good to have a plan, and that's kind of where I'm veering towards.
That's awesome. And I know you didn't want to relinquish too much about PJ Barch's, like, your insight into his game or anything like that, but
well, man, you know, PJ is such a nice guy, man. He's so cool.
And
he's freaking so tough. And I feel really bad that he had to go on and fight Mika, because he gave his all in my match and I gave my all. And he didn't get that much rest time because Mika and Jay fought before me and PJ. So we technically got less rest time. And when I crawled over to him with like a back out of place, I was like, hey, PJ, I was like, you got to fight. I can't fight. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, sure. And I was like, yeah, I can't fight. And he's like, okay. Like, you could just tell he was so, you know, like he just had nothing left. And to see him still get back out there was, you know, it shows how much of a warrior he was. So,
Yeah, what I was going to say, because you're 100% right, PJ Barch is an amazing, amazing competitor. He's down there in 10th Planet, South Bay, I think.
Yeah, and he's in his 30s. So,
I mean, he's crazy. He's an awesome competitor. I was going to veer the question towards Mika Galvão. And if you pretend, what do you potentially see? Like, I don't even know how to ask this question, but what do you see in Mika's game that you think you could take advantage of without relinquishing too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mika has a very good wrestling game. He doesn't shoot as much as more defensive counter wrestling. He has a very unorthodox, you know, submission game, and he plays a lot of overhooks. So I think a big part where I could shine going against Mika is weathering the crazy storm in like the first 2 minutes, and then coming alive, keeping like inside position and constantly attacking him. Because if you watch fights in the past where people were constantly attacking Mika, it became then more of like a offense against offense match versus people that fought Mika and he was constantly attacking. They were just defending the whole time, which in order to do that, you have to be very good in order to feel confident to attack. So against him, I'm just going to be looking to attack as much as possible, looking not to, you know, play for ref's decision or play for winning by decision. You know, I want to go after him and do something crazy and get a submission. So that's where I could see myself shining, not being afraid of, you know, his game or what he has to offer, but respecting it and going after him with a goal per se.
Well, you know that that's the match that I want to see. Angie Tacker versus Mika Galvão could be a match that headlines Who's Number One card as far as I'm concerned. I really hope that, you know, I'm not going to be there for the next Who's Number One because my baby's going to be here. And so I got to be dad. I'm going to be dad mode for a little while. Yeah, for sure. I'm super excited, man. My wife's downstairs listening to me.
Getting 3 hours of sleep a night. You ready for that?
You know what, man? I do not care because it's not about me. It's about that little baby. But, your dad did the same thing. And look at you. So it was worth it. Those 3 hours of sleep are worth it when your kid goes out there and does the kind of stuff that you do. But what I want to know, last thing, is where can people follow you? Who do you want to shout out? I just want to give you that opportunity on this platform to do that.
Yeah. You guys can follow me on social media, Andrew Tackett, Andrew.Tackett on Instagram. You guys can find me at Brazilian Fight Factory. I'm one of the head professors for the kids class and one of the assistant professors for the kid, for the adult class. You guys can find me at Celebration Church every Sunday. I want to give a couple of shout outs to Level Black. You know, Mr. Clay, he's an amazing guy. He supports me and he's doing a great thing in the jiu-jitsu community. I want to give a shout out to my professor, Professor Rodrigo. He is constantly going above and beyond. He is constantly, you know, treating us like his family. So, you know, thank you so much, Professor, for just being there and supporting us in all of our times. And lastly, you know, shout out to my Savior, Jesus Christ, for bringing me here, giving me opportunities to speak on platforms and, you know, motivating me to get back out there and giving me the hunger to be the best.
Man, that's a clip right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andrew Tackett, one of the premier competitors in his division in the entire world. My name is Jake Watson, host of the Open Guard Cast. I'll be back on the Flow grappling scene eventually. I was just in East Coast Trials at the Harrah's Resort in Atlantic City, which is like little Las Vegas. It was very disorienting. This episode of the Open Guard Cast is once again brought to you by Restore Health AZ. If you're somebody in the Arizona area or in other states willing to fly, there have been some incredible testimonies. Go to rhg.health and see how you can improve with naturopathic therapies that are sweeping the nation, just like stem cells, PRP, prolotherapy. All of it is there available for you. Andrew, it has been an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Open Guard Cast. We'll be back with another interview some other time. I'm not sure when.